Today we're going to share with you what the building team, our team that has come up with all this stuff, it has worked on for hundreds of hours for the past 2 years. Our team has been at work, working hard again for years now, trying to get this thing, the way that we feel like God wants it to be. And so I want to share with this before I kind of dive in. First of all, if you got a piece of paper, how many of you guys got a piece of paper when you walked in? All right, grab that piece of paper. Grab it out. Grab a pen. There should be pens on your chairs. If there's not pens, we've got pens. Anybody need a pen? We've got pens. Hank, will you walk around if somebody needs a pen? Raise your hand if you need a pen. We got two or three pens right back here. People need pens. But here's the thing. During the service right now, if you'll just take a minute, if you have a question about our Covered Arena Fund or our building project, if you have a question about it, just write it down and then pass it kind of toward the middle here. And then Sheila, right over here, Sheila's going to walk around and gather those up. So if you've always had a question or if you've had a question, about this project, just write it down and we're going to try to answer some of those questions. We may not get to all of them. If you have questions from our, about today and we don't answer them, call the church. We'd be happy to answer whatever questions that you have. Okay? So write down that question that you have. If it's a silly question, we probably won't answer it. Sheila's supposed to sift through the silly ones. So ask a serious question if you have one. If you want to make a funny statement, that's fine too. But anyways, so write those down. And in just a few minutes, Sheila's going to start walking around and gathering those up as well. Now, here's where I want to start. Okay? At Thousand Hills Ranch Church, we live by a code. Just like the code of the West, we live by a code. And the code is this. The Thousand Hills Code is promises and principles that are biblical that God has given us to fulfill our purpose. Okay? There's 12 of them. The 12th one is this. And I want to share this with you. You guys can see it on the screen there. Number 12 is this. We believe that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. We believe that he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Now, I've said this before. We don't just believe that he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. We believe that he owns the thousand hills as well. He doesn't just own the cattle on it. He owns the land that the cattle are on. He knows how many grass, pieces of grass are on that land as well. That's a big God. I don't know if you know him. I don't know if you've ever experienced him. But we believe that he is a big God. Therefore, at Thousand Hills Ranch Church, we believe in taking big risks, taking big steps, and having big faith is the only way to truly honor our big God. Amen? And so here's the thing. You may watch that video and you go, holy crap, how are we going to pay for that? How are we going to do that? I mean, we only got like 300, 400 people. There's absolutely no way that we're going to get this done. How's that going to happen? It's because of God that we're going to be able to do this. Amen. It's not because of me. Not because of you necessarily. It's because God's going to do it. And you say, okay, but how do you know? I mean, you're the pastor. How do you know that this is what God's will is for our church? Well, let me give you three answers that God gave me, okay? Here's how I believe and why I believe that this endeavor, this project is because of God. Number one, ultimately, it will bring God glory. It's not about, people think, well, it's about Bo. No, it's to bring him glory. Here's number two. You say, well, why do you believe this? Here's number two. It will benefit others. Again, it's not just about us. It's not just about our, our church necessarily. And you will benefit from what we are going to build. But here's the truth. It will benefit the whole world. What we're doing is going to benefit others. It's not about, again, just getting my needs met. It's about benefiting the whole world. And so you say, well, how do you know? Because here's how I know. It'll bring God glory and it's going to benefit others. And here's number three. Here's why I believe that it's God's will. Because it's bigger than what we can do on our own. I mean, I could tell you this. I could build an 80 by 145 barn, foot barn. I could do that. Me and Martin, we could get together with a group of guys and build that. But I can't build all of that. And I can't pay for all of that. I can't bring the people to all of that. I can't, you know, bless it with my Holy Spirit. I mean, it's not, again, this is something that is bigger than what we can do on our own. And here's the thing. I don't want to ever get to heaven and God go, "You didn't ask for enough. You didn't believe me that I could do anything bigger. Why? You know, why didn't you ask me for more? Why didn't you just say, hey, you know, again, this is the dream that you have." So I believe that we are going to be able to do something that brings God glory, benefits other, and is something that we can't do on our own. And so that's why I believe that what you're going to hear today and what you've heard before is from God. So here's what I want to do. I want to introduce you to the team that has been working hundreds of hours to come up with all of this stuff. All right. First of all, Tim Cruz. Where's Tim at? Tim, come on up, buddy. Give it up for Tim. Tim, sit right here. You might grab a mic down there. Tim Cruz, he owns his own construction business, does some awesome finish work. You've probably seen it in a bunch of areas in Woodward. Does a great job. He serves on our team. Is real knowledgeable. He knows how to measure twice and cut once. Right? That's what you have to do, right? And so he's been a detriment, or not a detriment. Is that the right? I just said that wrong. He's been a benefit to our team, very much so. And so I thank God for Tim. Next person is Mike Case. Mike's down here. Give it up for Mike. Mike he's worked for Mewburn Oil for 29 years. 29 years, yeah. And if he's anything like he is at church, he is probably their best employee. Because he is loyal, he is knowledgeable, he's got that salt of the earth kind of personality that everybody loves. He looks mean, but he's really sweet. So we just stick him around. When somebody needs, to be told, don't do that, then we just put Mike in there. He's like, "Yeah, don't do that." So I thank God for Mike. He's one of our elders as well. Got some great godly wisdom. So thank God for Mike as well. Justin Howard, who's not here today, I don't believe. Is Justin here? I think he was affected by the fire, so he's not here today, but he's on our team as well. Matt Liembauer, give it up for Matt. Matt is obviously our Oklahoma Emergency Management's director in our whole community, and so he does that, but he also is an elder in our church, helps out with all of our media stuff, is a electronics nerd. I don't mean that bad, but that's what he loves and that's what he does for us. And so he handles all of that. He's really over my head and all the stuff that, that everybody kind of loves in that area, and does a great job with it. And so thank you, Matt, for also being on our team. The other two guys you may not have met yet, but I want to introduce Tom Johnson. Tom, come on down. Give it up for Tom. Tom runs a company called Ingenuity, and Tom helps build churches all across the world. And when we started to build our church, I was introduced to Tom through another pastor friend of mine. And Tom, again, he's one of those engineer types that is smarter than all of us put together, okay? And so I like having those kind of guys around, because I'm a little more duct tape and barbed wire. Anybody else? And so I got to have somebody that can calculate the physics and make it all make sense. And so he's perfect at doing that. He also, and more importantly, loves Jesus and serves churches. I'm going to brag on him. He's a part of millions and millions of dollars type of ministries. He's put on a couple Super Bowls. That's how big he is. And so I'm proud to have him as a friend and as a teammate on our team, because he can kind of help direct us and has helped direct us, in this endeavor. So give it up again for Tom. The last person is Jerry Hare. Jerry's right over here. Give it up for Jerry. J- Jerry is our project manager. Jerry works for Tom. So everybody that comes to the site, Jerry's going to be there to help them. Okay? He is very knowledgeable in all the construction type stuff. We're teaching him a lot about the cowboy culture and about barns and all that stuff. So he's learning a lot as well. But what I also love about Jerry is a Marine. He has served our country as a Marine. Yeah. You notice I didn't say a former Marine, because once you're a Marine, you're always a Marine. Amen? That's right. So we're proud to hire a veteran of our service, you know, people. And so we just thank God for Jerry as well. Well, today, again, we're going to talk a little bit. And this is going to be maybe eye-opening for some of you. You're going to get to hear a lot of stuff that maybe you've never heard before. I'm not going to preach. Thank God. You know, some of you are like, yes. But I'm not going to preach, but we're going to talk about our goals and our vision for this project. Now, because here's the deal. I know many of you have questions, and you've had questions for years, and we've not necessarily had all the answers, but today we're going to share a lot of those answers. So if you have your questions, you can pass them to the front. Sheila's going to walk around, or just raise them up like this. Sheila will come and grab those questions as well. And we're going to answer a few of those in just a minute. Well, here's the thing. Everything that we do, whether it's having a church service on Sunday or whether it's building a facility or whatever we do, it's all built on the purpose that we believe God has given us. And this is our purpose. You ready for this? Thousand Hills Ranch Church exists to reach the unchurched with the gospel of Jesus Christ by tearing down religious barriers and building authentic relationships. Now, many of you guys have heard that before, but you may have noticed that there is something that is different that we took out, okay? And I want to tell you about this because it's a change. And this is something that God has shown me. Used to, it said, you know, Thousand Hills Ranch Church exists to reach the unchurched Western culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ by tearing down religious barriers and building authentic relationships. Here's the change that I believe God has asked us to make. Because it had Western culture in there, I think there was a lot of people that said, I'm not a cowboy, therefore I don't know if I can go to that church. Anybody ever thought that? Raise your hand. It's okay. Some of you guys have, yeah. But here's the thing. We believe that that phrase, Western culture, in this purpose statement, kind of limited us on who thought that they could come to our church. Does that make sense? And so here's what we've realized. We've realized that God wants us to reach everybody. Not just, a certain culture or a certain, personality or a person, that likes the Western culture. So here's the thing. We just took the statement out. But here's what I want to explain to you. We still are a cowboy church. Okay? We still are. And you say, well, why do you a cowboy church? Why do you call yourself a cowboy church? Well, here's the thing. Our style is cowboy. Okay, let me explain that. Our style is cowboy. The environment that you're sitting in smells like the smell of money. Right? And it's that manure out there. And again, not everybody in our community is used to that or understands that. But the majority of our community is Western culture. It's who we are. It's kind of where we live. If you don't like living in the boondocks like all of us do, then again, you need to go back to the city, because that's kind of who we are. But here's what I want you to realize. We are a cowboy church. And some of you guys are like, doesn't that limit you when you call yourself a cowboy church? Well, I would say this again. In our style, that's who we are. When you come, you're going to see this every time. I'm not taking it off. I'm not going to wear skinny jeans or penny loafers. It's just not going to happen. Wranglers were the first skinny jean to begin with, so we started that trend. Some of you guys will get that later. But anyways, our style, everything that we do, from the buildings that you saw, we're going to build it in a Western type of culture with that in mind. From the events that we put on, we're going to put on rodeos, arena events, fun type events that kind of work toward that Western culture. That's what our style is. But like I said before, the culture that we are trying to reach is the whole world. And you say, again, you say, okay, Bo, doesn't that cowboy culture, you know, kind of limit you? Well, here's what I've learned. I've learned that deep down inside, everybody has a little sense of a little Western in them. I mean, your mom, you know, was the rodeo queen of 1967, you know, and you're like, I never rode a horse, but my mom did, you know. And so, again, you have some kind of relation to the Western culture. You may own cattle, but you may still live in town, right? I mean, your grandpa may have owned a ranch and you got to go there. Here's what I've learned. Everybody, in a sense, has that desire to be a part of something like riding horses or living on a ranch or, you know, or whatever. And here's what else I've learned. I've got a lot of yuppie friends. I'm just going to call them yuppies because Phil Robertson does. But I've got a lot of rich friends that live in town, you know, and they live in the city or they live all around. But here's what I've learned about them. Guess what they own out here in our neck of the woods? A lease. A ranch, a hunting lease, they own a few horses, you know, and you say, well, why do they do that? Because they desire to live through our culture. I mean, when I meet with all my skinny jeans friends that are, you know, pastors other places, guess what they want to talk about? Hey, you pastor a cowboy church? I mean, you ride horses? I mean, you rode a horse to preach on? I mean, you guys, do they still have Indians out there? I mean, that's just what they say. I mean, you had 100 longhorns on Easter and you crossed a river? And I'm like, happens every day. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so here's what I've learned. They want to live through us. They do. I mean, every time I get around them, they're like, and they're just dumbfounded that I preached one time with bucking bulls behind me. In this ring right here. I mean, they're dumbfounded about that. We have ranch rodeos. What is that? You guys do a wild cow milking? You know, and I'm like, yeah, come on. I'll put you on a team. And they're like, heck no. You know. And so, again, no matter if you're a cowboy or not, it doesn't matter. Everybody, you know, again, we desire to reach everybody. And we believe, even though our style is cowboy, God has called us to reach the whole world. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. Everybody. So I want you to know that. You're going to come, you're going to get to experience a cowboy lifestyle at our church, but you don't ever have to be a cowboy to be here. Make sense? Okay. That said, we are going to build a facility that matches our style and the people that we're trying to reach. We're trying to reach unchurched people. So guess what? When you come to our church when it's built, we're not going to have steeples. We're not going to have stained glass. We're not going to have pews. We're not going to sing kumbaya. And we're not, you know, again, we don't pass an offering plate. We have a whiskey barrel. You know what I'm saying? So I want you to know that, because that's what you're getting into. If you're, you know, new to our church, or you're thinking, well, why don't we build a basketball court and have upwards basketball? We're not going to do it. We're not building tennis courts. We may build a pool, but it's going to have a high dive. Because high dives are cool, and you can bust your belly on them. Dang right. I mean, I don't know why I'm saying this, but we had a pool growing up, and we would put a life preserver on, you know, like a, what are those things called? Like you ski in? Life jackets. Not a preserver. Life jackets on, and we would do as many flips as we could, just because you didn't slam, and if you got knocked out, you would float. Anyways, that was free. So we may build a pool. I'm just kidding. No, we're not going to build a pool. But we are going to... I want to tell you 5 goals that we have for building our facility. You ready? Number 1 is this. We're going to build barns and a covered arena to reach the unchurched people. Most churches, they're more focused in on what's going on inside the church. And we love what's going on every Sunday inside this church. But more importantly, and I say that with all the love in my heart, because I do love you guys and I want you guys to be served and ministered to, we desire to reach unchurched people. When I think about our facility, again, it's not gonna serve maybe that church person. When they walk in, that church person may feel a little bit uncomfortable. They're going, holy crap, this place looks like a honky tonk. And I'm just telling you, that's intentional. It's not like happened by accident. Wow, how did that happen? It's intentional. It's not going to look like a church. It's going to be comfortable and it's going to be fun. We're going to have fun. Because, I believe God wants us to enjoy Him. We're going to have a bar type area. We're not serving liquor. Some of you guys are like, what? We're not serving liquor, but we're going to have as much fun as some of those people think that they have when they are a little three sheets to the wind. But, you know, anyway, so we're going to have fun. We're going to have, you know, all kinds of, we may have a pool table. We're going to have dance floor. We're going to have all kinds of fun stuff in our church. We're going to build a covered arena that allows us to reach unchurched people in the dirt. And then hopefully, because we built that authentic relationship and we tore down some religious barriers, they'll come through our church doors as well. Right. So we're here to reach unchurched people. Number two is this. We're going to reach our local community and the world. Again, this is fundamentally intentional. It's intentional. People think, well, you know, you're just going to be able to serve about 20,000 people in Northwest Oklahoma. I mean, why are we spending all this money? It's only 20,000 people. Now, listen, we're going to serve our local community and reach those 20,000 people, but we're going to reach the world, too. We're going to build a facility where we can reach our local community, care for them, grow them. But we're also looking into the future and saying, God, how big do you want us to be? What do you want us to do next? What pioneer way can we minister to people all across the world? So here's the thing, and I'm not promising this, but we may put multi-campuses all across the world. And you say, okay, but that takes technology. And that's where it does. To reach the world, you have to have technology. And some of you guys are, well, that's not the cowboy way. You got to have a cowboy way. Okay, well, here's what I've learned. I've been to a lot of ranches, and I've worked with a lot of cowboys, and every one of them have this. Every one of them. Every ranch, not every ranch, but a lot of the bigger ranches that are getting it right, guess what? They have one foot in tradition and they do one thing, you know, the cowboy way, and then they have one foot in technology and on the cutting edge. Go to the 4.6s, go to the Wagners, go to all of them. Look at their breeding facilities. They don't have just a syringe and some guy, you know, chewing his cud going, hey, let's put this semen in a mare. No, they have physics. They have veterans that are veterinarians that they hire so that they can get it done right. So they have one foot in tradition, but they also have one foot in technology. And you say, okay, but does it work? I want to prove something to you. If we're going to reach the next generation, and that's another part of our code is to reach the next generation, we're going to use what they like. And my kids are already into it, your kids, teenagers, it's the way of our future. So we're not going to just go, oh, I don't want to use technology because, again, whatever. Can I give you some stats? You ready for this? Because we use Facebook, listen to what some statistics are. Our average monthly reach is over 14,400 people. 14,400 people. We've reached over 27 different countries just through technology, just through social media. Our Sitting in a Tree part one of that series reached over 10,000 people with that one post. And it was shared 43 times by 43 different people. That's impressive. Is that not impressive to anybody else? Let me tell you about our website. Our website, in the number of visits to our website in 2015, 11,600 visits to our website in 12 months. And people that have listened to an online message in the last 12 months, 4,600 people have listened to one of our messages online. Does technology work? I think it does. Online media, all of our online media and all that stuff reaches four times more people than come to our church on a Sunday morning. Four times more. And so again, we will embrace technology to reach our local community and the world. So that's number two. And we're going to build a facility, you know, again, that is going to reach the local community and the world. Here's number three. The third goal is to host events for ministry and for profit. Okay? This is something that a lot of churches don't think about. They think, well, we'll just build a church and we'll just minister to people. No, listen. Nowadays, you have to think about, and again, it may be a part of our government that's flawed. They're looking at taking away our nonprofit exemption. So we have to build a facility that we can actually rent out or and to make a profit. Does that make sense? And so we're going to build a facility not only that we can do ministry in for free, but that we could rent out. And you say, why would we rent it out? Because we want to build a facility that we can use 7 days a week, not just for an hour on Sunday. Does that make sense? I think that's good stewardship of what God is asking us to do. And so, again, we're going to build a facility that we can rent to corporate people, dinners, dances, you know, concerts, you know, team ropings, junior high school finals. We're looking to rent it to anybody that wants to rent it, again, that doesn't conflict with our ministry as well. Does that make sense? I think that's a good thing. And that's what we're going to do. Here's number four. Oh, I want to tell you this as well. We're going to put in a full kitchen, and we may serve fajitas on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Can I get an amen? It's going to be... but they're going to be beef, no chicken.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Some of you guys are like, man, I'll sell you the beef. Some of you guys are like, ching, 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 you know. But again, that's what we're going to do. We're going to build it for ministry and for a profit. Here's number four. We're going to build our church so we can resell it. Some of you guys are like, what? why would we build a facility that we can resell? Well, here's what I look around and I see some churches and they're struggling and maybe they've shut their doors. And guess what their facility is good for? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. People buy properties, churches nowadays, and they doze them down because they're useless. And so what we would like to do is build a facility that anybody who's rich, any of our city, if our city wanted to buy it, if our, you know, somebody just wanted to buy it and have a second home that was 15,000 square feet, you know, whatever, they could come in, they could buy our facility and turn it into a business, turn it into whatever they wanted. Does that make sense? I think that's, again, good stewardship of what we're building. You said, why would we ever want to sell this building that we're actually going to build for our church? Here's why. Because I think at some point, God may say, I want you to even go bigger. I want you to buy 100 acres, and I'm going to put a bigger facility on it, and I want you to have a school. I want you to have a college. I want you to have, you know, daycare. I want you to have whatever else. And if we only have 30 acres, we may want to move. We may want to buy something bigger. So listen, I don't know about you, but that's a good thing, right? I mean, that's not dumb. That's good building. And again, these guys have helped us come up with that. So we're going to build a facility that we can resell. Here's number five, and this is the last one. We want to build a facility to provide an emergency facility for our whole community. Okay? You say, well, how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, everything that we are putting in, we are going to plug into one big cord, and we're going to be able to plug our whole facility into a generator and power the whole thing on a generator. So here's what happens. Tornado comes in, something, you know, happens, burns half the town around or down. And if our building's still up, we can plug our building into a generator and we can say, come on, we'll feed you.
Well, let me jump in here.
Yeah.
And this is something you didn't know. And that's the disaster business is the business I'm in, unfortunately. But we only have one facility in Woodward County that we can do that with, and that is the Sharon Community Center. There's no other power-generated, auxiliary-generated facility in Woodward County for a service area of over 24,000 people. Very important we do that.
Is that a good thing or what? I think that's awesome. And again, so all of this stuff we've done so that we could, you know, reach our community, we could, you know, meet all those goals. Here's the thing. You say, Bo, okay, what's it going to look like? You know, I mean, how much is it going to cost? Well, I'm going to tell you all this stuff because many of you have had questions about, you know, what are we going to build and all that stuff. So show that overall site plan right here. I want you to look at this. You can see all of this right here. This right here is going to be in the blue. These two buildings, these two barns are phase one. This is our worship barn. In this area right here, we're going to be able to seat 550 people. Okay? And you say, well, that's not big enough. We had 700 for Easter. Well, if we continue two services, we'll be able to seat 1,100 people. Okay? So this is what we're calling the saddle house right here, but this is our worship barn. In this area right here, this is our kitchen area. We'll have a full kitchen that we could, again, serve restaurant style, food in and all that stuff. It's going to have a fun, bar area with, we've got some of those booths that you saw in the video that we got out of an old bar in Amarillo, and we've got 8 of them. We're going to put them in there. It's going to be cool. It's my favorite part. I don't know. I just think it's cool. Anyways, this is all the bathrooms. We're going to have like 20 stalls in there, and it's going to have showers and everything in there so that if people, again, they come to our facility and they don't have a home, they can take a shower in that area right there. This facility or this bar or bathroom type stuff will be able to service the whole arena. So, and then if we build, you can't see really the dotted lines here, but there is enough room right here to build another barn in this area that'll seat 1,300 people in one barn. So we built the barn right here. We built the bathrooms right here. We built all of that so that it can service these future phases. Does that make sense? Those future phases. So you say, well, okay, what's phase one? Phase one is these two barns, this blue barn and then this barn over here. This barn over here is our children's barn. It's a 40 by 60 barn. It'll have a classroom right here. It'll have a nursery right here. It'll have a huge meeting room right here for all the children. We'll be able to split our classes into two classes. And we can, here's the other cool thing, we can always add on. Look at all this room right here in between the barns. We can always add on, right? So, again, that's a good thing. The bathrooms in our children's area are going to be in the classroom, so the teachers don't have to leave the classroom to take a child to the restroom. They'll just go right in the door that's in the actual classroom and not have to leave the classroom to do that. Here's what else we're trying to do. We're trying to protect our kids. So we will have how many cameras in just the children's area?
16
cameras in our children's area so that we can protect our kids. Amen. Here's the thing. You're going to be able, through technology, be able to look up those cameras on your iPhone and be able to check on your kid on your iPhone. I don't want to check on my kid because there's going to be one screaming and hollering, but you might want to check on your kid. And so anyways, it's going to be a great facility. The worship barn right here is 80 by 145. I want to point out this area right here. This area right here is going to be a gathering area where you can drink coffee, donuts, hang out. It'll be a place where the people at the, at the 10:30 service, they can hang out while they're waiting for the 9 o'clock to get done and the preacher gets long. And you don't have to stand in the hallway anymore. You can actually sit down and enjoy a cup of coffee from Phoenix Roasters that supports 87 missionaries. That was a plug for our coffee. But anyways, that's that gathering area up there, or in that area right there. Above this gathering area is going to be another story so that you can have a reception, small group, Bible study, all kinds of stuff above that gathering area right there. Above this bathroom area, we're going to have offices in our in a conference room for all of our staff and all those people as well. All right? So that's kind of the you say, well, why are we building that worship barn? So that we can have a place to reach unchurched people and we can worship. We want to reach people. So that's why we're going to do that. The Ranch Kids Barn, why are we building that? Well, obviously, we've got to have a place for our kids, and we want them to learn about Jesus. Okay? So those are those two barns. And then you say, okay, that's phase one. Phase two is this covered arena right here. This covered arena is going to be 160 wide, or 160, I don't know how you'd say it, but 160 wide like that, the cover itself, and then 400 feet long. That's pretty big. The arena itself will be smaller. It'll be like 135 by 245, but that cover is going to be 160 free span by 400 in length. You say, again, why are we building that? It's going to be the front door to our church. I believe, and I've seen it happen, when we have a ranch rodeo, we're going to have one in 3 or 4 weeks. Anyways, every time we have a ranch rodeo or a barrel race or bull riding or whatever we have, guess what? Unchurched people come. I mean, we might have 21 teams at our ranch rodeo, and about 80% of them don't go to church anywhere. I don't know of a church on the face of the earth that doesn't want that kind of you know, success in an event. I mean, people, churches, they plan events and nobody comes except the church people. When we plan events in that arena, guess who come? All kinds of unchurched people. They come and sit in the stands. They want to watch, blah, blah, blah. We build, authentic relationships with them. We tear down religious barriers. We play in the dirt with them. We get our arm broke with them because the cow runs over us. That was a joke too, but that wasn't very funny. But we like to have fun, you know, in the dirt. And then through that, we are able to reach them for Jesus. Okay? That's phase two. Phase three is the youth barn. And you say, well, youth are getting the shaft. No, listen. The youth is phase three. They're not getting the shaft because guess what? They can meet in this barn right here. It's going to be used again and again and again and again. So they're going to have access to everything that the church has access to. And then as we grow and we're able to afford it, we're going to build them their own barn. So they're going to have all kinds of fun in that barn as well. That's phase three, the youth barn. Phase four is this future worship barn. And again, you can't see the outline right there, but it's going to be like over 15,000 square feet. And it'll seat probably over 1,200 to 1,300 people. Here's the cool thing I want you to realize. All of this stuff has already been planned. I mean, here's the thing that I don't like when I see people, you know, planning stuff. They plan themselves and they pin themselves in. Through what we're able to do, we're able to grow our children's barn. We're able to grow our church. We're able to grow our youth barn. I mean, we're building a facility that is not just for today, but it's for 20 years from now. That makes sense, right? And here's what else I want to tell you. All the footwork, I mean, we're going to have to design some stuff, but all of the footwork for the 1,200 people, the big barn, the adding on, all that stuff has already been done. It's already been done. So it's not like we got to, oh, let's go back and design this now. No, it's already been done. Everything's been done. Even the lagoon, the sewer lagoon, it'll service 1,200 people's crap. It's right there in the corner right up here. But I'm just telling you, we thought, I mean, some people, they just go, let's just build it and we'll just build it for, all right, we've got 400 people coming to church. Let's build it for 600. No, we're going to build it for 1,200. And then we're going to actually be able to, you know, add on to that as well. To me, I think that's good stewardship of what God has given us. I'm just telling you, I think that's true. You say, okay, Bo, I've not heard a word you've said because you've not told me what it's going to cost. I mean, again, if you're like me, some people are like, I don't hear a word you're saying until you tell me how much it's going to cost. Don't tell me all this other stuff until you tell me a figure. Well, I'm going to tell you a figure. You ready? Here's what I want you to know. The land has been paid for. We purchased the land, $100,000. We purchased it cash. We paid cash. The dirt work was $162,000. It cost more than the land. I don't understand that, but it did. $162,000 for the dirt work to be done. All of that has been paid for. We paid cash for that, okay? That's a great thing. But phase one, let me explain this to you. The new worship barn, the children's barn combined, all the engineer design, all the electrical, all the plumbing, all the barns, technology, lights, and sound, all of phase one, listen to this, is going to cost $6.1 million. That was the same reaction I got in the first service. Absolutely nothing. But here's the thing. You say, well, that's a lot of money. And it is a lot of money. But I'll go back to my God owns a, how many cattle? Yeah. Cattle on a, how many hills? Okay. So I just wanted to remind you of that when you think about that. And guess what? He's not broke. And he's not a part of the oil field. So the oil field's not down for him. And guess what? He's got so many cattle that he can sell some and make a lot of money. That's how big he is. So that's phase one. And phase one is where we're going to focus, okay? But I want to tell you some estimated costs for phase two, three, and four. Okay, the covered arena, if you'll go to the covered arena. This covered arena, just for the materials for the cover and the cover erected is we got a bid on it just for the materials, the concrete pillars and all that stuff is $850,000. just for the materials in the cover, okay? That's no arena, that's no buck and shoots, that's none of that stuff. So our projected cost for the covered arena is going to be around $2.5 to $3 million as well, okay? Phase number three, the youth barn. Each of these barns, this youth barn and our children's barn, we're guessing it at $700,000 to $800,000. Okay, that's the electrical, that's the, you know, sound and lights, that's all the stuff that we need in each of those barns. And again, you say, well, why does it cost so much? Here's why. Because we're a public facility. So we have to meet all the red tape and we have to do everything up to code. If it was my way, I'd get Mike and all this team and we'd go out and build it. But then they'd come in, they'd shut us down because it's not built right. Or it's not built to, you know, safety. Okay. And so you say, well, why does it cost so much? Because we're going to do it right, and we've got to do it right, okay? The phase four, and again, these are all estimated costs. This is that future worship barn that'll seat like 1,300. It may end up, and again, when we get there, even if we do get there, around $3.5 million, okay? But here's the cool thing. The civil for it, the civil engineering, the lagoon, again, all that stuff, we don't have to duplicate any of those costs because they've already been done. And to me, that's great. That's great stewardship. You say, okay, Bo, that's the cost. What have we brought in so far? How much money have you given and has God blessed us with? Well, I want to give you a figure. You ready? This is what's been designated to our arena fund so far. $2.6 million. $2.6 million. Now again, you say, well, that's a lot of money, but I thought we brought in more money than that. I mean, we've probably brought in, you know, $700,000 or $800,000, and then we got a $2 million gift from a family, which was pretty outstanding. And you say, well, why is it not more? Well, let me tell you what we've done and what we decided as leadership to do. When we got a $2 million gift, we felt like God didn't want us to keep it all. And he told me, I'll never forget, he told me, he said, I want you to give some away. He said, the worst thing that you can do is take $2 million that I gave you and keep it to yourself. And so what we did is we gave, I think we gave $50,000 of it to the American Fellowship of Cowboy Churches so that they could build more cowboy churches. Gave them $50,000. We put $30,000 or $40,000 back so that we can give it away to our community. It's in a benevolence fund for people that lose their homes or, you know, need clothing or can't pay the bills. We put that money back into a fund so that we can give it away. Here's what else we did. We figured out what it cost us for our utilities and all our salaries and all that stuff. And we figured out that we need this much money for a quarter to pay for all our bills. And we put that amount of money back so that we're already a quarter ahead in our budget. Does that make sense? So essentially, I think that's a cool thing. Yeah. On top of that, we have already paid ourselves a mortgage. I want you to hear this. For the last year. We paid ourselves a mortgage, even though we don't have a mortgage payment. We paid ourselves a mortgage every month, over $6,000 we put back every month to pay ourselves a mortgage so that we could be prepared if God says, I want you to borrow some money. Does that make sense? We have a rainy day fund of over $130,000 already set back so that if the oil field still goes down and we don't have money coming in into our church, that we can pay our bills for up to 6 months. Does that make sense? I think that's good stewardship. I don't know. And so let me just say this. We've seen miracle after miracle of what God's done in our finances. Raising over, you know, $2.5 million, again, $2.6 million, we couldn't have done that on our own. That's a God thing. Okay, so you say, okay, but what have we spent? I mean, if we've got that much money, what have we spent so far? Well, let me give you a figure. We've spent $1.7 million already. And you're like, where is it? Where the crap is all the stuff that you've bought? Mike and I went to Mexico for a week. No, I'm just kidding. That was a rumor that was going around, but we did not go to Mexico. If I was going to Mexico, I'd go with my wife, not Mike. Sorry, no offense. But she's cuter than you in a bathing suit. No, I'm just kidding.
Amen.
So anyways, we've spent $1.7 million. You say, what have you built and what have you done? Well, you go out there in the dirt and you're like, well, there's nothing there. Well, all of the engineering, all of the design, all the civil engineering, the electrical, structural, all that stuff, the design of our sprinkler system that has to go in our building, the alarm system, all of that stuff, the land work, the red iron of our barn, our worship barn, is already on the ground waiting for us. To use all the lighting, all the sound, all the parking lot lights, everything that again that we could buy and save money on, we bought. And you say, well, where is it? It's in a place that if I told you, I would have to kill you, because if anybody finds out where it's at, they're going to go steal it and try to tell your insurance guy that all this stuff is in an undisclosed area that I can't take him to. And he's like, heck no, I cannot handle that. We've got $1 million worth of stuff sitting in an undisclosed, undisclosed, whatever, area, okay? Now you say, okay, why buy all the sound and lights and all that stuff when we don't have a barn to put it in? Here's what I want to tell you. We've saved over $400,000 by purchasing all the stuff that we've already purchased. Over $400,000, yeah. And here's the thing. I want to give Tom the credit for that. Tom, again, he sells all this technology to churches all over the world. And because he's able to buy it at a rate where he can compile it all together with this church or that church or whatever, he can get it all at a discounted rate and we get the savings. Here's the other side of it. We have purchased all of our lights, all of our sound, all of it is efficient. All of our lights are going to be LED lights. So you say, why? Why would you buy all these LED lights? I mean, because here's why. I can plug 3 LED lights into one socket and it not blow the breaker. I plug one of these lights in and it's going to blow. Here's the other side of it. The cost of running LED, the cost of running all this efficient stuff is going to save us tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars in the long run. I mean, the technology that we're buying and we're purchasing, it's a lot of money up front, but it will pay for itself over and over and over again. We're going to be able to pay off what we purchased or used, you know, the technology that we purchased in 19 months. It's going to pay for itself. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. All of the HVAC, which is the heating and air, all of it's going to run less because we don't have all these hot lights in our church. So we're going to save money on our utilities. We hope that we've saved, what was the percentage?
About 80 to 85%.
80 to 85% of our cost, once we get in the barn, it's going to be 80 to 85% less. Here's what I've noticed about churches. They build buildings that are 10,000 square feet like ours, and then they're afraid to turn the lights on because it costs them $2,000 a day. That's dumb. And so we're hoping that we can turn the lights on every time you come, that you don't have to bring a lantern to church because you're like, don't turn the light on, don't turn the air on. You know, we're going to have a campfire. You know, we're trying to do things so that we can be good stewards of God's money. So that's what we've purchased so far. Now you say, well, how much money do we have left? Okay. Cash in hand in the bank account, we have over $840,000 still left. Okay. That's cool. Yeah. And so again, you say, okay, so 6.1 million just for phase one, you know, you've spent, you know, 1.7 million already, you know, you got $800,000 in the bank. What's the remaining cost of just phase one? Here's the remaining cost, $3.6 million. That's what it's going to cost to get us to where we can move in to our saddle house in our children's barn. Here's what else. We believe that our cash that we have on hand, the $800,000+, will pay for the in-ground. You say, what's the in-ground? That's everything inside the concrete. All the plumbing, the electrical, the concrete itself, all that for those two barns, $355,000 just for the concrete, just what goes in the concrete, okay? On top of that, we can put our building in the dry for around $450,000. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, in the dry means it's not going to get wet. I just insulted a bunch of people. But that's what it means. If you get something in the dry, you can lock it up where nobody can get in it, and it's going to stay in the dry. Okay? So we believe that, and I don't hold us to this because there's things that come up or costs that are going to come up. We believe that we can get our two barns, phase one, in the dry with the money that we have in the bank. Okay? From that point on, we are going to, again, be asking you to give toward, you know, this fund, and we're going to be praying, obviously, that God will provide the rest. You say, when's it going to be done? I have no idea. I mean, that's the $2 million question, the $6 million question. When's this going to be done? We believe that we could get it done. If we had all the funds, we could get this done in 6 to 9 months. If we had the funds. But we know that we can get it in the dry pretty soon, and we're going to work toward that. And then from that point on, we're going to trust God and ask God to provide. Okay? What questions do we have? I want to answer a few questions. Any safe rooms? That's a good question. The answer is no. Do we have any safe rooms? If a tornado did come, would there be a safe room? We've talked about, you know, buying some containers, shoving them in the hill that we have, the side of the mountain, and shoving them in that, you know, hillside, and then using those as a safe room as well. Safe rooms obviously cost a ton of money. So that should answer that question. No safe room at this point, but we're looking into being able to do that. Any comments from anybody on that one?
Yeah, cost on those about $1,000 per person to shelter in a safe room. So, you know, we'll look at that. But a lot of times, a safe room to be secure has to be somebody to come unlock it and then lock it back behind people. So sometimes that's a little more dangerous to have a public storm shelter. So that's why we'll look at that in the future.
You bet. Possible. If there's only a few of us, Mark Messenger has a house and he built one. So we'll just run. We'll run to his house and get in it. Here's another question. How much will the monthly bills be? Okay? We have no idea. But we will tell you this. I went to the bank the other day. It was fun. Anybody ever been to the bank and asked about a loan? Raise your hand if you've done that. It's kind of nerve-wracking, but I went to the bank the other day, and there sat the president of the bank, who drives a Jaguar, and so I felt out of place because he's a little rich. But anyways, he was sitting there on one sofa, and then the president of the bank sitting on the other sofa, and I walked in there, and I said, hey, you know, we're doing this project, and I handed him all this stuff, and I let him look at it, and I said, you know, I don't know what your bank can do. Can your bank even afford to let us borrow? Like, if we wanted to borrow $2 million, can your bank afford to do that? And the president or the owner looked at me and he said, and we can give you as much money as you need. And I go, so what are the fees for this, you know, for this, if we were to buy, you know, borrow money, you know, all this stuff? He's like, the fees will be whatever I decide them to be. And I'm like, I'm glad I'm talking to you, because you're the man that can make it happen, right? You know, and so, again, we've already been approved, you know, for a certain amount, all that stuff. If we borrow $1 million, I'll just tell you up front, if we borrow $1 million, the monthly payment will be around $6,400 a month, okay? Here's the cool thing, though. Here's what I want to show you. For the last year, we've been putting back $6,600 a month to pay for that $1 million mortgage on a down year. Oil field's been tanking. I mean, we've still been able to put back $6,600. So God, for me, God says, the million, you got it. You got it covered. Even if we were to borrow. I'm hoping we don't have to borrow, but if we have to, we will borrow. So how much is it going to cost? Again, our utilities, we're trying to cut them in half by building an efficient building. Okay? So hopefully instead of $6,000 to run it, electricity, we're going to have about $3,500, you know, in utilities,
but
as far as that goes.
Do you know how much the monthly fee is?
Yeah.
Based on our cost per kilowatt hour, which was a blessing from the power company.
Yeah.
and what we saved in efficiency, we're between the $650 and $750 a month. Now, that's using it 60 hours a week.
Okay.
If you used it less than 60 hours a week, then obviously that would go down.
So there's the bills. Will you have a Wednesday night church service? What we've done in the past has really worked good for us. We have short, intense Bible studies for short periods of time. And you say, why do you do that? Why don't you just have Sunday school or 52 weeks out of the year? Because here's why. The people that get excited about Bible study, they usually get tired of it after about 10 weeks. And so they're like, let's have Bible study. Let's be there 52 weeks out of the year. And then guess what? I show up and nobody else is there after 10 weeks. Can I get an amen on that? I mean, some of you guys are the ones that do it. And so you say, well, are we going to have a Wednesday night? Are we going to have a Sunday night? You know, are we going to have that? We've learned that I can get, here's what I've learned. I can get a human being to commit to 8 or 10 weeks of Bible study. Intense Bible study, come 2 hours, you know, a night on a Wednesday night or whatever, and study the Word of God for 2 hours and get fed. But again, after about 10 weeks, everybody kind of just tails off. And here's another part of our church that I want you to understand. We want you to become a self-feeder. If you rely on the church to feed you and feed you alone, if you rely on our church, you're going to starve spiritually. Because here's what I learned. I grew up in church all the time. I was there 3 times a week, every week. My parents drug me to church 9 months before I was born, I was in church because I was in my mom's womb. But here's what I learned. I don't have to read my Bible on my own, because I'm getting fed so much that I don't even, you know what I'm saying? I mean, 3 times a week, I can't take in what I'm learning in 1 time a week. So a lot of people, they go, I'm just going to rely on the church to feed me spiritually. What we try to do is equip you to feed yourself. We're going to feed you at church on Sundays. We're going to have short, intense Bible studies, and then we're going to set you free, and you're either going to starve or you're going to learn how to read the Bible for yourself, learn how to pray yourself, learn how to grow in your spiritual walk yourself. We feel like that's what God has showed us to do. It may change. We may have a Bible study 52 weeks out of the year, but that's where God has led us so far. What else? Will we still be having 2 services? And again, that's we're going to look at that. We will start with 2 services as far as of right now. Okay? I'm hoping that we fill them both up. Tom and I have a bet. I got to buy him some gun that he wants if we're not full on the first Sunday. And he has to buy me, what'd you say you were going to buy me? A Harley? Oh, a Colt, another gun, if it's not full. So we've got a bet. But here's the thing. I believe we're going to be full that first Sunday as well. We may have to start 3 services. We may have to start 4. I don't know. We may decide, well, we've already outgrown this. Let's use our worship barn for a fellowship barn, and let's go ahead and build the other barn and seat 1,300 people. Amen. Again, I'm just trusting God to do whatever, right? Will the times be the same as of right now? The times of our services will be the same. Okay? Here's the last question that I got. How can I help? It says, what can I do to help? I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked. Next week and in the weeks to come, we're going to be able to tell you how you can help. Obviously, we're going to ask you to sweat for us. That means go to work every day to be able to, you know, to provide for your family, obviously, but to be able to give generously to our church. We need you to pray for our church, and we need you to help serve. A lot of the stuff, that $6.1 million, can I just tell you, that's a high number, but I'm trusting that we are going to be able to do it a lot less than that because of your generosity, your labor, your giving to our church. Does that make sense? And so in the next few weeks, we're going to talk about what you can do. Here's what I believe. I believe that understanding what we're doing and why we're going to do it builds great unity. If you don't understand, if we're not answering your questions, if you can't call and say, you know, what is this about? Or, you know, why'd you do this? Or why'd you do that? If you can't do that, then you're not going to support it. And so we want to be transparent with you. We want to clarify things with you. Don't go griping because you don't know something when you've never called and you've never said, hey, why'd you do that? Hey, what's going on? Hey, why'd that happen? Again, don't be a gossip. Don't be a busybody. But at the same time, if you have questions, ask one of these people. Call the church and ask your questions because we want to do that. Can I just ask you to give a hand to these team members right here? I want to close with this. I praise God for what He's done so far, but I praise Him for what He's going to do. I look forward to sitting with you, standing with you, and worshiping in our own facility, in our own barn. And so I look forward to that. Yeah. And so here's what I want to do to end the service. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. I want you to join me. I want you to join me in asking God to do a few things, okay? In your own chair right there. We're not going to ask you to pray out loud, but I want you just to pray in your heart these few things. First off, I want you to thank God for the blessings that He's given us. So just in your heart, just pray. God, thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for our great church. Here's what else I want you to do. I want you to thank God for all the hundreds of people that, and maybe even thousands of people that have given their life to Jesus, and their life has been changed forever because of Thousand Hills Ranch Church and because God using it. So just thank Him for the life change. I want you to thank God as well for the purpose that He's given us. Again, our purpose doesn't look like other people's purpose, but it's what God has shown us, and it's what God wants us to be about. And again, we may change it. We may take things out. We may add to it. But at this point in our church's life, we feel like God has given us a purpose of reaching the world through a cowboy church style and to see lives change. So just thank Him for our purpose. Maybe you thank Him as well for the people that He's given us, for our leadership, for the team that has worked hours, hundreds of hours, this is going to continue to work hundreds of hours to see this through. Thank Him for the money that He's given us. Thank Him because, again, it's not all about money, but He's provided it for us so far, and we believe Him to provide it even more. So thank Him for that. And here's what I want to ask you to pray for to close out. Pray that God will continue to have His hand on our church. Because again, without Him, all of this is pointless. All of this building stuff and all that stuff is pointless without Him. And so ask Him to continue to use us to reach the world. Ask Him for millions of dollars. He's not broke. We need millions of dollars to do what He's called us to do. So just pray and ask Him to provide millions of dollars for our church. And then ask Him this. Ask Him to continue to grant us vision for the future, wisdom for the future, and the strength and the power to fulfill the purpose that He's given us. Listen, I want to thank everybody that's here today, and I want to thank you for praying that. And I challenged you guys last week to pray at 5:10 in the morning or 5:10 at night every day. I want you to add this project to that prayer list. If you will do that and just ask God for the things that maybe we've prayed for when you have your prayer time each day. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to end the service with a word of prayer. And Wes and Jill are going to come have a few closing comments. We're going to be dismissed. But I want to thank you for what you've given. And whether it's your sweat, whether it's your money, whether it's, you know, just a smile, whatever you've given, thank you for that. And I know that God's going to continue to use us. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be a part of such an amazing church. I thank you that our church isn't about us necessarily. It's about reaching unchurched people. It's about glorifying you. And I thank you that our church is going to benefit not only us, but it's going to benefit hundreds of thousands, if not millions of other people. And so, Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be a part of this project. Lord, we do pray and we do ask you to provide the resources that we need to do this. You have them. We ask for them. We provide that you would provide more leadership, more teachers, more, you know, staff members, more ministry leaders, more team leaders. Provide it all, Lord. You are able to meet every need that we have, and we just want to pray that you'll do that. Lord, we thank you for how you've blessed us so far, and we pray that you would show up and show off for your glory. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Pastor Bo Haig at Thousand Hills Ranch Church in Woodward, Oklahoma. Please join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. at the Woodland Livestock Auction.
I'm a riding fool who is up to date. I rode every trail in the Lone Star State. I roamed the range in my Ford V8. Yippee-yi-oh, tie-hey.